Let's dance. Let's party. Let's boogie.
Thanks for another terrific week. I know we got a little Sammy Maudlin show there at the end, but sincere thanks to Mike for everything that he's done. And now it's on us to start the process of filling that that absence. And we will do so. And I promise we're going to find somebody terrific to do that. Thanks to Ray Diaz as well. Thanks to Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, our guests today, Lamont Pope, Joe Ostrowski, and Patrick Finley. And now it is time for the afternoon show, which today looks a lot like the Parkins and Spiegel show. Will be Anthony Herron and Matt Spiegel today.
Wow, good guess by you. That's
See?
A good
receptive.
Read.
My Anthony Very Herron receptive. Identification skills have remained strong.
What are those in the background, right?
Those are dogs,
those
Murph.
Those would be dogs.
Yeah, it's the Ryan Sandberg dog identification test. Yeah, you know, having done that job a long time ago, the Mike Rankin job, that is a difficult job. Yeah, and Mike, you've done a great job at it. Best of luck with everything. It used to be that you could do that job and then slowly make your way to this side of the glass. That used to be the way. Lawrence, you ever do that job? Full-time sound guy?
Yep. Sure did.
For the aforementioned that
no,
guy?
No, I was EP for that yeah. show, but okay. I was the sound guy for Jiggets and McNeil.
You were the sound guy for Jiggets and McNeil.
Riles was the EP. Uh-huh. I was the sound guy.
Lawrence probably hung up on me one time.
I'm
back
sure
in the
I
day.
Did.
I'm guessing he did. There was one point many moons ago where I called in. Just I think I was probably in between teams. Like I was driving from one team to the next, like early 2000s. And I didn't really know how it worked. I just thought, like, all right, if I call, then I'm going to just get on the phone.
Like you'll
with,
be
like,
on the air.
Like Northern Dan Jiggets or something like that. So I here's somebody answer. I really have no recollection. It was probably Lawrence, but some dude answered the phone like, oh, who is this? And then he asked me what I want to talk about, which completely caught me off guard as I'm sitting in traffic, like driving from Green Bay to Detroit or something like that with all my luggage in the back of my vehicle. So, hey, yeah, so what you want to talk about?
What did you want to talk about?
I mean, probably something about the Bears because I was still a Bears fan early in my NFL career. I'm getting checks from Detroit, checks from Green Bay. Still want to know what's happening with the Bears. Called him probably with some hot Bears take, not saying like, hey, I'm a current NFL player. And he said something, asked me what I wanted to talk about. I said it in a very, you know, monotone, you know, nondescript kind of fashion because I'm trying to figure out who the hell's asking me what I want to talk. You're not Dan Jiggets. You're not Mike North. Why do you want to know what I'm talking about? But yeah, I delivered it.
Who
sat
are
on
you?
Hold for a few minutes.
How dare you right. screen just, my call?
I had
call.
No idea that
you
was what was going to happen.
Even though that's your job.
Put me right. up right now.
So, that you don't get baffled. Yelled at by your host.
So if the category is full-time hosts who at one point were full-time sound men.
Matt Spiegel.
Jason Goff.
Jason Goff.
Me.
You. Jonathan Hood was a full-time sound man.
Okay.
Dan McNeil was Jed Kopik's full-time sound man.
Yeah.
But not at the score.
Not at the score.
Were you working the day McNeil walked out of the show?
Yes.
He just bailed?
McNeil and Jiggets?
Yeah.
He hated that show.
He just left.
It was a very weird thing because on Fridays, Jiggs would leave at 7 because he was anchoring at Fox. And so the power dynamic was all like weird. Mm. And then there was the time where
he would leave at 7 because the show was 4 to 8.
Yeah, it was a 4 to 8 show.
Yeah, it's a great time slot.
Man. And then he'd go over there. And then there was the time where Riles and Jiggs got a psychologist for McNeil and surprised him with it. Oh. So that wasn't great. Oh. That didn't go over very well.
I never heard about and that.
Well, McNeil also, he would have these ideas, because, you know, he was regimented and how he wanted to set some things up. And then out of nowhere, Jiggs would just, like, do a read or change the subject or bring a friend on or something like that. And McNeil would just look around like, wait, what?
Reavy stories on the line.
Dan, Reavy stories.
Wally Chambers is calling.
Put your hands on the radio.
So wait, is that, I'm trying to think, is there anyone else? I mean, Maddie wasn't full-time on air.
Right.
He was a long-time sound guy, too.
Matt Cola?
Yeah, yes. Before becoming an EP.
No, for years, having no idea if that was his real name.
Sure.
I'm just driving around Matt Abatacola. So what is his name? Matta Batacola, right. Like, I'm just, as I'm listening to the score as a youngster, just having no idea.
That's
because it just would flow so quickly.
That might still be in the vault. Paula Ferris saying his name like that.
Yeah.
Because she always wondered the same thing.
Batacola. I love that.
I love it when you analyze. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Like, but I love that you called the station, Matta? Anthony Herron.
Batacola.
Had to be Lawrence who hung up on me because I sat on hold for a few minutes.
I mean, I was known for that.
And I think it was late in the show, too.
I was a hard screener. I took screening very seriously because I had seen enough hosts throw carts and throw tantrums that you weren't, it wasn't happening on my watch. Uh-huh. Jesse? Yes, because he ran the board. That's when for Judd.
I guess he did run the boards for Judd.
And Judd would call him Dummy. That was his nickname.
Man.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well,
so, I don't know if it's a nickname.
It wasn't a nickname as much as an insult.
All right.
It was his nickname. He would refer to him in the third person as Dummy.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
I was just telling Mike Rankin the other day when I was on with you guys.
Have you ever heard the phrase, the grass is always greener till you get there?
Nope.
No, we have not.
Dummy, who's talking? Yeah. Getting ready to be on with you guys the other day, I was telling Mike Rankin, man, I have grown to absolutely love his Sox takes here in recent years. Like, I'm like, I didn't know I would learn anything talking to Mike Rankin. For like 2 years now, I learn a lot of Sox stuff just hearing Mike Rankin talking Sox. I really enjoyed it.
Well, the beautiful thing is that you'll still be able to hear that on Future Sox and Sox Machine. All right.
Sox Machine.
Yep.
So help me with a word choice here. Okay, I keep trying to say it.
Batacola.
And I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it.
Meta.
My overall feeling about what Ryan Poles has done and where he still remains is that he has maintained an ability to be adaptable or agile or flexible or malleable. But I'm
fungible.
Fungible
means easily replaced.
Yeah, fungible is like how they feel about running backs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, like he has
pliable.
He's not locked himself into really any of those giant deals with the crazy money. I know Tremaine Edmonds to an extent, but that's a 24-year-old guy.
There's
a definitive word here that I'm looking for. Like, he can still approach the draft, and he's going to be able to go either three technique or edge rusher or tackle. I have my feelings on what he's going to do, but also going into next year, once they learn some stuff about Fields and learn some stuff about what they have, then if he wants to pounce and do next year's version of the Javon Hargrave deal or next year's version of the Juwan Taylor deal in Kansas City, he's going to be able to do that. So I appreciate that he hasn't locked himself in to something being untenable. So what's the word? Adaptable? Flexible?
Methodical.
No.
See? No, there is New York Times crossword puzzle, man.
Isn't there something
What would be a word for keeping options open?
Correct.
Non-committal sounds passive.
Right.
It's actively...
He's actively keeping his options open and ready to do things in a number of different directions.
And multifacetedly prepared.
Yes.
He's
whatever that word is, I keep trying to find it.
One of the dating apps is probably named after it. I think one of the dating apps has to be hingeable.
But I like it.
Well, I mean,
I like where they are in that sense.
Grindable.
Yeah. Mm. He's grinding.
Grinding. Are the texters suggesting anything?
Opportunistic, no. Forward thinking, strategic.
Strategic's pretty good.
Flexibly judicious. Forward thinking.
Judicious.
I like strategic.
Always have to be lucky shot.
Strategic actually works because it allows for there to be some space for him to make choices.
Yes.
That are both long-term and short-term and good for the Bears, even if we can't necessarily see how it might be good for the Bears. Strategic is a positive word that isn't passive.
But we could also say strategic if he spent all that money. If he spent all that money on Javon Hargrave. If he signed, we could still say it was strategic, you know? It's the fact that options are open that I like so much.
I think it's about timing. You know, he's in a position where right now.
Optionable.
He's that's not a word. He's.
Optionable would be for like a
film
script.
He's not getting aggressive yet. He knows that the aggression, that there will be a time for it. Just my impression right now is that he's not taking the big swing as of yet because it doesn't feel like time yet. You think back to like one thing, it's as far as timing, like the evaluation that Ryan Pace gave to a bunch of guys.
How about calculated?
That's good.
Yes. Yeah. It's calculated. And he's letting himself remain agile and ready to adapt.
And mobile.
And hostile. Because here's the thing. Has anybody thought about them doing this at 3 Technique? You ready? Nothing. Think about it. You're not going to be able to do everything, which he has said multiple times. Justin Jones is functional at your spot. I know it does. He's not.
You would like to replace him, but he's okay.
And you will replace him, but he's under contract, and you've got him. And he actually was, you know.
Decent.
It was decent enough. And here's the thing. You're going to put somebody next to him. They already put Billings next to him. They're going to add somebody else at that nose tackle spot. If they add an edge rusher, and they've got all these backers.
Well, they did in Walker.
DeMarcus Walker, who can
play. I think they'll add another, whether it's Frank Clark or one of these, like, 30-year-old edge rushers on a prove it deal to give him something. And who knows with the draft? Maybe they'll draft a 3 Technique in round 2, 3, or 4 or whatever. But I think it's on the table that they take a tackle up top and they take edge rusher somewhere else. And maybe they take a center and maybe they do whatever the hell else they want, take a corner somewhere. And they just don't deal with 3 Technique. And then next year they make that trade or they sign whoever's out there. And then, bing, bang, boom, you've got everything.
And that also would work with your larger picture of what he's doing and not rushing to plug something in that's going to limit him.
Correct. And using guys who are decent who happen to be here. Justin Jones is a guy who probably ought to get used. Even though you know he's
like
not Larry Ogunjobi.
Backup.
Sure. And maybe you keep him after next year as a backup. Maybe
the only problem is the scenario that none of us wants to think about. That if you go into this without finding your 3 Technique and then Justin Fields is bad, now you got a problem.
Now you need both.
Because you've committed to, we'll find our 3 Technique next year. Now maybe you have enough belief in Justin Fields that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this is your guy and you're going forward with him no matter what. But if you end up, if you're like, oh, man, we screwed ourselves because now we've got to use all that capital that we built up to go get a developmental quarterback. We got to go get a new guy.
Right.
Now, in that scenario, you would still have money available because they haven't spent it this year where you could go spend on next year's offseason 3 Technique and draft a quarterback early. And
right.
So you could still fill both spots by leaving yourself that flexibility.
You wouldn't have to pay Fields either.
Right.
You would have made the decision.
Not only wouldn't you have to pay Fields in that scenario, you very likely have an improving left tackle in Braxton Jones on a rookie deal and a right tackle on a rookie deal. You know what I mean? So, like, those are premium positions you're not paying anything to.
I'm still not there on the Braxton Jones thing.
Let's see, man. He's working his ass off to deal with the bull rush.
I don't know if Ryan Poles is there yet either. I think he's given him an opportunity to earn something.
I think that's a my guy type move where it's like, oh, he's good. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. He's my guy.
Yeah.
For me, I think he played well enough last year to have another crack at it for where the Bears are at as a franchise right now. If the Bears were in that, let's say 2018 Bears kind of situation, was like, hey, are we entering a window right now? All right, boom, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where they're at yet. So I think right now you have so many young, potential, developmental type of guys that you need to hit on some of those young developmental guys and then, you know, it's kind of bolster them with the veterans who are getting money right now. So to say Braxton Jones, all right, you got a season to earn it. Justin Fields, you got a season to earn it. There's a few of those guys on the roster right now who have this coming season to prove something as far as being a part of a winning future.
Well, especially he proved his reliability, if nothing else.
And
if you posted
every week.
Every week he was there. And we talked to Sam Munson about it, about the Pro Football Focus grades. Mm-hmm. And I think I told him I felt gaslit seeing how well some of these Bears graded out. And he put it into context. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one. When you get a rookie tackle.
What if the baby sucks?
You get a rookie tackle that played all these games, and I think you phrased it pretty well. Like, at the very least, you may say, okay, all right, big fella.
Well, because imagine if you actually did find him. Right. You know, imagine if you did find one there.
You don't know for sure you didn't.
No, you might have found Charles Leno. Who's functional and
Absolutely. And
could play for a while for you, and he's on the rookie deal, and you love his makeup, and he's going to get better. That's worth using this next year to see if you have found that. I think it is. Texture with a great word. Fluid. So the strategy can now remain fluid.
Be like water, my friend.
Yes, and he can look at this team and say, well, I can funnel my fluid assets here
fluidity.
Or there.
That Take was my easy. Biggest
liquidity. What the Bears have liquidity, right?
Nimble. You're helping
Nimble's
people.
A good one.
Nimble's a good one.
One of my biggest problems with Pace was when one move had to become a double commitment, where you trade all these assets for Khalil Mack,
yes.
and then commit the massive cap number. So it's like, ideally, what Poles hasn't done that. He's either spend money or spend assets.
I know.
That's the way you stay flexible,
yes.
and the way in this league you can make sure you're paying your best players the most money when they're at their best.
Right.
Is by doing that.
Why settle for a tackle that they don't like? They can say scheme fit all they want on Orlando Brown. They clearly don't like him, right? Okay. So why settle for him?
I heard Wani talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And just because the contract actually said, well, you know, they could have afforded that. Screw that. Don't do that. Go draft one or you're not paying a damn thing to.
It's all a part of the puzzle because they like Braxton Jones enough to say, if we don't get someone else here to play left,
right.
then that's fine because he's got a chance to develop. We do know we need a right tackle, so we want to expend something there. All right, well, we don't want to expend that much for Mike McGlinchey, but that's the one they at least went for, you know, in a bit of a heavier capacity. And I think for Orlando Brown, if Orlando Brown said, you know what, I'm willing to move back to right tackle, that would have, in my opinion, drastically increased the possibility that he'd be here with the Bears right now. He wants to be a left tackle,
yep.
and that's what he's doing.
Texture's killing it. Poles is maintaining strategic flexibility. And that's
well, now that we're combining words, we are.
Okay, but I'm looking for the phrase. I'm looking for the word, and I just
flexibly combining strategic.
We all know
ameliability.
We all know it's a multiple year thing, and I think he's probably surprised that Fields deserves to be built around. You know,
maybe.
He has earned that, and so they're doing that and giving him stuff.
There's a lot of people who feel like Poles was more out on Fields than I do. I think he's been evaluating this whole thing.
He
didn't have any reason to commit to Justin Fields when he showed up last year and he hadn't seen him play any football.
I'll tell you who he's out on. He was out on Tevin Jenkins, and now he's like,
I never bought any of the Tevin Jenkins trade rumors either.
But he's flat out said he didn't think it was a tackle, and he's now surprised. Well, no, he's a guard. I didn't think he could be
because
good
he
at
continued
guard.
To evaluate him. Like, he gave him a chance at tackle. That didn't go so well. He moved him into guard. He played well, so he stayed on the field when he was healthy.
But now he's moving him over to left guard with a chance to make the team. You know?
Tevin Jenkins making the team.
That's going to be a story when we get closer. All right, boys, get out of here. Start your weekend, for God's sakes.
Thank you.
We are Parkins and Spiegel, and on the show today, John Paul Morosi in about 20 minutes on the World Baseball Classic, Puerto Rico and Mexico tonight. Let's go. Poles position at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be focusing on the guys that our man Ant Heron has seen in person.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those draftables you have seen up close. Dan Wiederer at 3:25, Joe Cowley on the Bulls and the Lonzo News at 4, and you'll hear from all these new Bears players a little bit later on as well. At 6:70, the score. Speaks and Ant Heron, I'm Parkins and Spiegel.